Today we're going to talk about the call to serve. We began with our vision statement, and we're in the process of sharing our dream statements with you. Our vision statement says, bridging community in Christ to bring hope, wholeness, and abundant life. The first week we talked about connect. We dream of a church where healthy fellowship is an invitation to develop genuine and rewarding fellowship, friendships. Worship. We dream of a church where worship is a powerful experience, leading to a contagious expression of freedom and intimacy in the Spirit. The last 2 weeks, we talked about grow. We dream of a church where discipleship is a strategy, a strategic cycle of mentoring, resulting in leadership, development, and evangelism. And today, we're going to be talking about serve. We dream of a church where the call to serve is an exciting opportunity for selfless obedience to fulfill God's purpose. And so we're going to elaborate on that this morning. In fact, the 3 points of my sermon come out of our dream statement here today. David Platt, he was a missionary, said this. He said, somewhere along the way, we had subtly and tragically taken the costly command of Christ to go, baptize, and teach all nations, and mutated it into a comfortable call for Christians to come, be baptized, and listen in one location. And so today, we want to encourage you that we are called to go, we are called to serve. And going and serving go together. How many know that? We need to start here in our own Jerusalem, go to our Judea, our Samarias, and around the world. So our text today is a very familiar scripture to you in Matthew chapter 4. It's talking about Jesus calling them to be fishers of men today. So we're going to use that as the basis and the outline of my message here today. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it reads this. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So our message today is the call to service. We're going to look at just one verse here this morning, verse 19. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Father, we have come into this place to be encouraged. We have come into this place to hear what you have to say to this body. Today, Lord, this is just kind of, I'm relaying a message where 10 of us have gathered over the past year, coming up, Lord, with what you would like our church to be. And so, Father, this is one of our dream statements. This is not actuality, but this is a dream that we have as a core group and hopefully as a church today. You'll grab a hold of this and just run with it, Father, because I believe that you want us to be fishers of men. I believe you want us to be evangelistic. I believe you want us to be missions-minded. And so, Father, I just ask that maybe something today that is said, the scriptures that we read, the thoughts that are presented, Lord, will just kind of stir something within our heart once again. Father, I encourage those who are already laboring in the fields, and I pray for those, Lord, that maybe are kind of standing on the sideline, Lord, that maybe might convict us a little bit here this morning and convince us, Lord, for our need to be involved. I believe every person in this house, Lord, has a call of God upon their life. If they have committed themselves to Jesus Christ, I believe there is also a call on their life. And so, Father, we're just asking in these next few moments as we look into your word and we expand on it, I pray that you will speak to us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We ask that the wind of the Spirit would blow over this place today and that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to us this morning. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the points of my sermon, as I said, come out of our dream statement here today. And so our first point here this morning is that we are called to be fishers of men. It is an exciting opportunity that lies before us here today. How many know that opportunities abound? There are no limitations. There are no boundaries to all the different ways that we can work in behalf of Jesus Christ. The only limits we have is the limits of our imagination. I believe that the church has not even begun to scratch the surface of coming up with imaginative ways to reach the lost. And so today, I'm going to talk a little bit about fishing today, but I'm going to talk about mostly about us not only being called to reach people, but we are called to serve people. And so the opportunities abound for us here today. How many know that catching is more fun than just fishing, right? When you go fishing, it's always fun to be able to catch fish. And if you're not a fisherman at heart, if you don't catch anything, usually the rod goes in the corner or in the garage and you never pick it up again. But if you are a true fisherman, even if you go out fishing all day long and don't catch anything, you still had a good day. If you're a hunter and you don't bag anything that day, guess what? It wasn't a waste of a day if you are a true hunter. So catching is more fun than fishing, of course. We all like to catch something. We all like to bag something. But we need to discover the joy in the journey. Not just the catch, but we need to enjoy the pursuit. You're not getting it, all right? Even in ministry, it's not always us seeing the results, but it's us continually working and believing and trusting God. It's like fishing, right? We all heard the expression, nothing is more rewarding than a job well done. So let's clarify that a little bit here this morning. Nothing is more rewarding than the results of a job well done. That's kind of a little bit here clear for us here today. And so we want results from our works. We want to see evidence coming forth from the service that we give to Jesus Christ. Jesus tapped into what the disciples were already doing. They were fishermen. So what's Jesus do? He comes up with a term. He comes up with bait to get their attention. He said, yes, you guys are fishers of fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. And don't you think in their mind that it caught their attention? So this morning, I'm just asking you, what could Jesus use to bait you, to entice you to get involved in the kingdom of God? You may not be a fisherman. That's okay. That's all right. But how many of you like to barbecue? Amen. So if you don't want to be a fisherman of fish, how about let's be a barbecue for people? Amen. Amen. You put food out, they show up, right? If you like to work with your hands, how about if we build for people? Amen? Do something constructive. Some of you are mechanically minded. Why not take some of that and mechanic for people? Some of you ladies may like to bake and cook, but how would you like to take that and to do what? To minister to people. Bake for people. How many of you like to talk? Y'all like to talk. All right. Amen. So why not visit some people? Amen? Because they're looking for people to talk. Some of you like to shop. I don't. Some of you like to shop. Some of you like to yard sale. Why don't you do that for Jesus? Why don't you do that for people? Last year, we kind of started. We didn't quite finish. We have kayaks. We got 6 of them now. So we're going to kind of use that as a way of connecting with people to kind of float down the river with them. So we're going to kayak or tube or whatever you want to call it for people, connect people. What are you interested in? Because that's what God is going to use to kind of get your attention to say, hey, you can use that for reaching people. Amen. You know, some of us are missing the trees because of the forest. You understand that saying, right? We see the forest, but we don't see the trees, right? We don't see the individual trees. So this morning, I'm going to make this a teaching moment, and I ask forgiveness if you're offended before I even get going on this morning. But I made an observation this Thursday, and I don't want it to be a rebuke. I want it to be an encouragement. Can you put up our Connect statement? Can you find that on the slide? Because these are dream statements. They are not reality statements of what is happening in our church at this moment. And so I want you to look at that statement. We dream of a church where healthy fellowship is an invitation to develop genuine and rewarding friendships. There was a good turnout, and we have been having good turnouts for those that come and help with our food bank. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming out, being part of it, and serving those individuals that came. But I have a rhetorical question for you here today. And you don't have to answer it, but I think you already know the answer. Why did Secondhand Harvest ask us to have people come back into the building? I said it was a rhetorical question. We know the answer. It is an opportunity to bridge the community to Christ. Isn't that our vision statement? It is an awesome opportunity because they're actually coming here to us. Isn't that amazing? We didn't have to go to them. And we know the Great Commission says what? Go to them. But we have built a bridge where they can come to us. So the twofold goal of the ministry of Secondhand Harvest is to meet the physical need. Yes. But it also is there to meet a relational and spiritual need. And so this is where I'm going to step a little bit. And so keep that dream statement in mind. Because this is what we're agreeing to, but it's actually not happening. Maybe I'll sit down right now. Many of these individuals do not go to church. They do not. Probably 99, I don't know. Very few of them are actually in church anywhere. And they are open to the gospel because they come here. So there's an expectancy. I'm going to a church, so I might have to hear the gospel, right? We might have to encounter something that has to do with God. So they come. They come anyway. Many came in on Thursday with prayer requests. We had a lot of prayer requests. I mean, it was incredible what people had shared with us. We had people that were in pain. We had two individuals had problems with their knees. One was going into surgery this week. We prayed with her. We had a lady with her knee and her shoulder need to be replaced. She told me about her husband who was in a truck accident, who had brain damage, has diabetes, and he's slowly recovering. We had a lady that had three deaths associated close to her just in a small amount of time. And these were just some of the things that we had. And we had a lady that asked us to pray for her shoulder. I'm going to ask you to.
Just to add to that list real quick, there was another lady who hit her head really hard and was having vision issues. And I was asking if somebody could deliver to Parker. And you know who stepped up? It was another recipient. She saw our post and she said, I live in Parker and I have to come get my food anyway. So, you know, even people who aren't going to church are answering the call sometimes better than we are. You know, we need to check ourselves. But yeah, we prayed for a lady named Susan. She couldn't lift her arm more than just this far. And it was Libby, Pastor Tim, and I that got to pray for her. And she's very open. She loves the Lord. But she, by the time she left, I don't know who she grabbed, whether it was you guys. She was raising her hand way above her shoulder, and she was excited, you know, that God touched her. So that was really exciting. And Cody over here was helping. Sorry to call you out. And this is his first Sunday here, he and his wife and their children. So, you know, we welcome you, and we thank you for coming on Thursday. Like, you made a difference. And, you know, Judy was, I have to point out Judy, too, because she was flittering about praying for everybody. And just so warm, and you're so good at what you do. I've learned a lot from you over the years, and I have to say that because you've taught me to be, you know, to go out of my comfort zone and do things like this. So thank you, Jesus. Give all the glory to him.
So what we want to do is we want to make it a safe environment for you to begin to practice ministering to people. How many know it's easier to do it on your own turf than somebody else's turf? And so, as I said, they know what to expect when they come into the church. And again, our statement is we want to connect with people. But the problem was, as we were sitting here in the room, there's tables set over here, and we had all of our guests over here, those that were coming in for secondhand harvest, and we had all our workers over here. And there was tables dividing the two. And I'm sitting there looking at this scenario and saying, this isn't good. Because people were asking for prayer. Twice people asked for me as the pastor of the church to come and pray with them by request. And I dragged Pastor Whitney and I dragged Libby with me. And so the problem was there was more needs than there was people ministering to the people. And so we need to bridge it. Church, we need to bridge it, and I'm encouraging you that are involved in that ministry to break some personal barriers and help us out. And again, as I was walking around, and you could see that there was a division between those that were just here for the food bank and for our own church, and she actually thanked me for walking around and talking to them. I don't know if that was a compliment or a smack. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there wasn't a whole lot of people doing it. And I'm not doing that to justify who I am, but I'm just saying, folks, they're here. They're in our own backyard. Let's reach out to them. We had opportunities where people talked about the sanctuary. I had a guy ask me why we had cameras in here. And so it gave me an opportunity to say, hey, we're online. You can tune in. But it would even be better if you came. So, you know, it's just opportunities that we have, not just to minister to the physical need, giving them food, but offering them some spiritual help, encouragement along the way. And as I talk to people, I don't tell them who I am. People will say, are you the pastor? But my name is Tim, and I'm there to minister to them. And I want to encourage you as the body of believers today. I know it's awkward. I know it's not in some of our natures, because I've talked to some of you, and it's like, I don't like doing that. But somewhere down the line, I didn't like doing it either. I didn't like standing up in front of people. But that's what God called me to do. And if God said, do something else, hallelujah, I would do something else. But God takes us out of our comfort zone and into new areas. And our business is the people business. Amen. We are called to connect, folks. They're not going to know unless God's people are the bridge. So there are many exciting opportunities to serve. Jesus knew the disciples weren't ready to fish for people in the beginning when he first called them, right? He knew that. But where did they begin? They begin by just going with him and serving with him. That's why he invited them to come follow him. That invitation is not just to preach the gospel, but it is to serve people. And how many know that serving people a lot of time is a hook, the bait, to being able to present the gospel for them? Sometimes they need their need met before we can present the gospel. Amen. So what is discipleship? It's basically you watch someone else do ministry, we do ministry together, and then we step out on our own, and then we invite others to join us. That is the process of discipleship. And so we're encouraging you to step into that realm here today, because we may not be fishers for men, but hey, we are, I don't know what you would call this, giving food to somebody. We're grocers for Jesus. We're grocers for people, providing that certain need at this particular time in their life. So if you're a little reluctant or a little wary about ministering to people, come join us. You know, sit with me. I am not a people person. I am not a PR person, and sometimes I have to talk myself into going to talk to somebody. I'm not a Libby. I'm not a Joe. Hallelujah. I mean, but some of those have that natural outgoing, but I'm encouraging you. Sometimes you just got to say, okay, Lord, this is for you. I'm doing this for you because this is what you want me to do, and I'm the pastor of the church. I don't always like talking to people. Sometimes I'm scared to talk to people, but we got to break some barriers. So there are some exciting opportunities, and whenever you have the opportunity to minister to people, folks, it is exciting. It's probably one of the most exciting things to do for Jesus Christ. Yeah, we may not see the fruit of it. We may not make a catch, We may not bag anything, but what are we doing? We're planting, we're watering, and we're just trusting God that He will bring it about. So sometimes it's just the joy in the journey of learning to serve people. There's joy in it. Even if we don't see any fruit, even if we don't see any result, even if we look back and say, well, I should have done this, that, what? How many have done that, right? All the things you think of you could have said or done, and you didn't. But hey, we did what we did for Him, and guess what? He can take care of it. He can take care of it. It's not our business to produce fruit. No comment. All right, we'll move on. That's His business, right? We're just called to do the work. All right. So it's an exciting opportunity. Secondly, He said, come follow Me. And I call this selfless obedience. So put yourself in the disciples' shoes. What do you think went through their minds when Jesus specifically called them and said, I want you guys to begin traveling around with Me? They're fishermen. They're not people person. They deal with fish. Right? Think about it. Hanging out with a rabbi wasn't exactly on their bucket list. Right? Some of you that may be teaching and ministering in the church, you never thought years ago that that would be what you would be doing. Pastor Chris, did you ever think way in the past that you would be a pastor of a church? It's not on our radar. It isn't. And it wasn't on their radar as well. So when the call came, they responded. Verse 22 says, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. So we kind of think that this is the first time they encountered Jesus. It wasn't. They were familiar with Jesus and they were familiar with His message. And so you need to understand this is after Jesus invited them. They were John's disciples. They began to follow Jesus. They went to the wedding in Cana. Some of them did. They saw His miracle of changing water to wine. They saw Jesus cleanse the temple out. That happened before this calling. They heard Jesus preach. No doubt they saw Him do miraculous things. So it wasn't like it was just out of the dark that Jesus came up and walked up and said, Libby, come follow Me. That wasn't the issue, right? Joe, if I said, hey, Joe, I want you to quit your job. I have a job for you. Come follow Me.
Yes, sir.
The truth is, would we? No, because we don't know what to offer. We don't know what we're getting into. And I'm not going to give up my livelihood to just follow somebody. And so that was the situation in which the disciples had found themselves. And so the disciples were familiar with His ministry, and they had to count the cost because this was their living. This was their family income. And the only one we know that was married was Peter. And how would you like to go home and tell your wife, I quit my job and I'm following this guy around? You may not be married, right? So they responded to a specific call after a short time of spending time with Jesus. It was built out of a relationship. They were already building a relationship. They already seen what Jesus was capable of doing and who He was claiming to be. And so after a period of time, counting the cost, when He came and called and said, I want you to follow Me, this is what I want you to do, they decided to follow Jesus. In Matthew 20, 16 and Matthew 22, 14, there's a phrase that Matthew writes twice in there. He said, for many are called, but few are chosen. And we can look at this calling in two ways here today. It is a call to salvation. How many know that? That Jesus is calling to everyone, that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's out there. It's a general calling for every person on the face of the earth. But it is also a call to service. It is a call that once we do accept Jesus Christ, that we get from the place of sitting and soaking and beginning to serve, beginning to work for Him. Selfless obedience means death to self and one's ambitions and being open to God's purposes. We read last week, we read a scripture about a living sacrifice, right? He wants you to be a living sacrifice. He wants you in His service. It's not about having our act together. It's about allowing God to do the work in us and through us. So let me give you two sad statistics. And it affects the Church of Jesus Christ today. Not just our church, the general Church of Jesus Christ. It says 75%, or 3 out of 4 pastors, feel unequipped to perform their duties as a pastor or a leader. 3 out of 4 are standing in pulpits feeling like they can't do the job. They're not equipped to do the job. They feel inadequate. 1 out of 10 ministers will actually retire as a minister. So 9 out of 10 individuals that start in the ministry will never finish in the ministry. That's kind of mind-boggling. And then we kind of think about the condition of the church, right? If we're talking about church leadership here, what's happening to those in the congregations of these pastors? So we begin to grasp the extent of what is happening within the church. The church membership is a reflection of church leadership. So if pastors are feeling inadequate, guess what? People in churches are feeling inadequate to do the work of the ministry. You know, it's not one of those things we told our kids growing up. It's not, you know, don't do what I do, but do what I say. And even as leaders in the church, we can't tell you to do something that we're not doing ourselves. And so we're in this journey together with you. And yes, we have been involved in some ministries, but we want to be involved. We want to be leading. And we want you to see that we're involved with it too. And we're not telling you to do something that we are not doing. Can you imagine how inadequate the disciples felt when Jesus called them into service? Think about it. Not just in the beginning, but even after the resurrection. They had no clue what was coming. They had no clue of where they were going and what they were supposed to do. There was no strategy except stay in Jerusalem until I give you the promise. That was it. Church is just like us. We need to step out in faith. It's not about what we can do, but it's about our availability. It's about our willingness to serve in the best capacity of where we are at the moment. God doesn't expect anything more than what we already have. But he does expect us to use what we have. Jesus told his disciples to follow him, and he would what? Make them. He knew they weren't ready, but he said, I'm going to make you guys. All right? Hang tight. I'm going to teach you to be fishers of men. Thomas Hale is another missionary. He said, the biggest hindrance to the missionary task is self. Self that refuses to die. Self that refuses to sacrifice. Self that refuses to give. Self that refuses to go. Folks, we're the only thing holding us back. God has given you everything you need to fulfill the call that he's placing on our life. I don't know what the call is. You need to find out. Because he's already equipped you for it. He's already prepared you for that calling. Is it perfected? No. We just need to be obedient. And he will make us. He will help us. He will teach us. So, we're looking at this, so selfless obedience. He said, come follow me. And the last thing Jesus said, I will make you, and we just kind of touched on it, is God's purpose. We don't come self-equipped. We don't have it all together. We look at the people in the Bible and we think how wonderful they are, but look at the transition that took place in their life, in the lives of the disciples. We look in the life of Paul. I mean, Paul is, you know, he is probably one of the top heroes of faith. But yet, Jesus had to knock him on his can and say, hey, it's time to get it right. And we don't hear about Paul until almost 17 years later. We think that Paul got saved, he went out preaching and changing the world and going on missionary journeys. No, it was over 17 or more years between the day Paul was saved and the day that Paul went on his missionary journey. 17 years. We kind of read the Bible like everything happens boom, 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 boom. But folk, Acts takes over decades. We talk about emulating the disciples. Oh, we want to do this. We want to see miracles every day. It didn't happen every day. Those stories are spread out over a decade or more. All those miraculous things that happened, they happened over years. It's just a collection of those stories. They lived in a real world like us. They had to eat. They had to sleep. Things we do. They had to work. Let's not pretend that there are some super saints that we can't even begin to emulate. They're just like us. We live in the valley, folks. But it's great to go up on the mountain now and then, experience the goodness of God and see the miraculous things of God. But folks, we live in the valley, the real world. He said, I will make you. I will make you. So without selfless obedience, Jesus can make us into anything he wants, if we allow him. The word make is not the word that we use to force somebody, to make somebody do something against their will. But it means to appoint, create, produce, to work. So what Jesus is saying is that if you will listen to me, if you will follow me, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to create in you. I'm going to reshape you. I'm going to remodel you. How many know if you remodel a house, it doesn't change the house? The house is still there, right? It may change the appearance, but Jesus just wants to do some remodeling. Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork. That's NIV. King James says we are his workmanship. New Living says we are his masterpiece. Hallelujah. Created in Christ to do what? Good works to serve, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God has already gone before you and he has already prepared you. All these years of living, all the experiences you have had, guess what? Is preparing you to do the work that he has for you. All those dumb things we did, all those rebellious things we did, all those good things we did, guess what? He has been preparing you. He has been using that. All things work out together for what? Good to those who are what? Called according to his purpose. So he can take what we did, the mess we made of our lives, and the good things of our lives, and what's he do? He uses it for his glory. He's creating something. He takes what we give him, and he remolds it. As God's redeemed people, we are called into service. After example of washing Jesus' feet, after Jesus washed their feet, think about it. This is the upper room. We all know. We're coming into Easter. We know the night before he was betrayed, he gathered them all together, had the Passover meal with them. He washed their feet, and he has what we call Holy Communion with them. And just think what a sacred moment that is, a holy moment that is. And what do we see? In this sacred moment, the disciples do something really stupid, really stupid. They break the atmosphere. In verse 24, it says, of Luke 22, after Jesus did this, explained to them what was happening, then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Do you understand what has just taken place? Jesus has just poured out his spirit to them, poured out the plan to them, and here they are. What? Arguing who's the best. Who's the best? They missed it. Verse 25, Jesus told them, in this world the kings and the great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. Many of your translations say benefactors. But among you, it will be different. In the church, it is different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be his servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? And of course, Jesus says the one who sits at the table, of course, but not here, not now, not in this moment. For I am among you as one who serves. You have stayed with me in my time of trial, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat, drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And you're not one of the 12, so don't get too excited, all right? He uses the word benefactor. It's only found in the Bible in Luke's translation because he was Greek. He was familiar with the Greek culture. And a benefactor was one that holds authority over people, influences them, and has power over them, rank and dominion, and they want to rule and manage people. A benefactor is also the person who gives and helps others and then wants to be recognized and honored for their help and contribution. So what do we have here? Sounds like a Pharisee, doesn't it? It's actually a description of Paul, because it took 17 years to prepare Paul to get ready to go out and be a missionary. And folks, it's in churches today. So as we look at this here today, we are called to humble ourselves, not to have authority over one another. And we're not doing it for what credit? We're not doing it because we want people to recognize us, because we want to be patted on the back. Because folks, don't we always get a little upset because someone didn't recognize what I did? Folks, we're not benefactors. We're in this as servants of Jesus Christ. The disciples were called to be fishers of men or of people. They were not just called to fish for people, but to serve people. People came to Jesus because he served them. Do you realize that? What do you think the miracles were? He was serving them. I don't know if you've ever been in a church. We've had a couple long altar calls here. But the minister, what did they do? They took the time to serve, to minister to whoever was here, to whoever wanted to be ministered to. And just think of the hundreds and thousands of people and how disgusted at times the disciples were because they were tired, they were weary, they were tired of serving. But even after a full day of ministry, Jesus would turn around and begin to minister again. And no doubt, there was a lot of grumbling in the ranks. People came to Jesus because he served them, because he loved them. Fishing and serving are synonymous when it comes to the call that God places on our life. It is something that is caught, not taught. And that's my pun for the day, all right? Even at this point, the disciples were still looking inward rather than outward. Jesus just kind of lays out the plan. This is my body. This is my blood. I'm going to die, guys. I'm here to save the world. And they're arguing about who's the greatest. Folks, I hope you're not missing that point, what it's all about. Serve. We dream of a church where the call to serve is an exciting opportunity. We can present you with some opportunities, but maybe there's opportunities that we can't provide for you. And maybe you have to look outside the church of ways that you can minister, ways that maybe God is laying upon your heart. There are exciting opportunities for selfless obedience where we put our side, our what we want done, what we want to see done, and say, Jesus, hey, I'm willing to serve people and to fulfill God's purpose. So last week, as we closed, as before I preached, Melissa came up and she testified about her trip to Dominican Republic. And how many hurt her heart, right? And she began to just share her passion for missions trips. She began to share her passion specifically for the people of the Dominican Republic. That she can't wait to go back, right? It's a passion, right? We have a prayer group that meets every Thursday. They're faithful, week in, week out, doesn't matter the weather. They are here praying for our nation, praying for our church, praying for whoever has needs. They are faithful. They are passionate. It is one passionate group, let me tell you. Children's ministry. We appreciate those involved in our children's ministry. On Tuesday night, we had over, from babies to teenagers, we had over 40 kids here in our facilities. And on Sundays, we've been running in the 20s when it comes to our upper 20s with our kids on Sunday. And the teachers are passionate. They're sold out because of that. You know, this is what they're called to do. The worship team. How many know our worship team is passionate? Right? They want it to be contagious. They want you to catch it, what they feel. If you want to spend some time listening to Pastor Whitney, all you have to do is say, "Linus leak." She gets excited. She's passionate about that ministry and what God is doing in the life of women and their kids and their families. Shelby began her ministry looking for those, the prime timers, those that are over, started out at what, 60? Lowered it to 50. She wanted me to be in there, feel old. But she had a heart for them. And this year, she came and said, "I want to really reach our shut-ins, those who are watching online, those who can't make it to church." And she's passionate about it. And so this is what we're talking about here as we're talking today, right? We dream of a church where the call to serve is an exciting opportunity. Maybe at the time they thought of it, they didn't think they were the ones called to do it. But if God gave you the idea, let me give you a hint. Maybe it's God wants you to do it. Not that the church should be doing it. Maybe he's saying, you need to do it. It's an exciting opportunity for selfless obedience. Yes, time, talent, and money. Always invested in the kingdom of God to fulfill God's purpose. Right? We are called to bridge people to Jesus. That's what it's all about. And so we've gone through our five dream statements here at the church. And we're not done with this. We got some things we still got to prepare. We're going to have a launch date. But the reality is, to some extent, we're fulfilling them, but in the greater extent, we're not. It's still a dream. It's still a dream. And so we want you to dream with us. We need to sell you the dream. Because it's a good dream. And it's a biblical dream. It's a God dream. Let's pray. Today, church, the call to service is for everyone. No, we don't have to be fit into a specific mold. We don't have to have a specific talent. We don't have to be a teacher. We don't have to be a pastor. We don't have to be this or that. God wants to use who you are, what you're interested in, what you're good at. And sometimes we're good at things we don't even know we're good at because we've never tried it. But the call of God comes and you either have to say yes or no, or you kind of shelf it and think, nah, it's just me. But the truth is, if it's God, he won't let it sit on a shelf somewhere, but he'll keep reminding you that he has a purpose and he has a plan for you. It may not be in a leadership role, but it might be in something that you come alongside somebody else and just help them. And maybe that's where you begin. That's where the disciples began. They began in a place where Jesus called them and said, "I want to make you." They weren't ready to be fishers of men at that point. But he said, "Come on, hang out with me." And as they hung out with him, he began to let them be part of what he was doing. And then he sent them out, two by two. We know the book of Acts, where they were released, they were empowered, and they went all different directions. God is calling us, church. He's calling you by name today to work for him. I don't know what that looks like for you. It took me years, it took me 13 years to figure out that I was called to be a pastor. From schooling to being involved in ministry and other aspects. Folks, there's nothing more wonderful to be in the place that God called you, that sweet spot, that place, you know, that was just designed for you. Because when you're there and you're selflessly obeying him, he begins to do things, incredible things. He begins to make you a bridge to those that don't know him. He begins to anoint you that when you pray for him, something happens. The miraculous begins to happen. People get saved. People get filled with the Holy Spirit. People are set free. People are healed. On and on we can go here today. He just wants you to be available. He'll help you get there. Part of our responsibility as a church is not just say this is our dream, but we're here to help you fulfill the dream that God has given you. And we're learning that. We're in a learning curve here as a church. We want to do ministry together. Come up alongside someone that's already in ministry and something maybe that God's been speaking to your heart and say, hey, will you disciple me? Will you? Can I watch you? Can I be with you? And our objective is to say, hey, do that. And we'll give you opportunities to practice. This church is wonderful. They're accepting. They're loving. And just being able to step out and just experiment. I don't know if that's a good word. But being able to do that, you will get positive feedback. You will receive grace and reassurance. Take advantage, church. Father, I come to you today. The first call today is the call of salvation. If you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ, or maybe you're not right with Jesus Christ this morning and you know where you need to be, this morning is that opportunity to come into his presence. Many are called, but few are chosen. He calls everyone, folks, but it's up to us to choose. If you need to accept Jesus Christ this morning, you know the prayer. Jesus, forgive me for what I've done. I recognize what you did on the cross for me. And I'm choosing today to accept by faith that my sins are forgiven. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you fall into that second category today. He's calling. He's calling us all to serve in some capacity, in some way, in the church, out of the church. I want to emphasize that. It's not always in the church. I encourage you, if something's been heavy on your heart, or God has planted an idea in your head, share it with somebody. Share it with us. Just say yes and ask God to help put it together. Help God, help Jesus make you the person he needs to do or be to do that ministry. Hallelujah. Today we respond to you, Lord. This church is all about you. It's all about you. You are the head. And these are just some dreams that we feel like, Lord, would be pleasing to you. And we're just asking you, Lord, help us grow in these areas, Father. Yep, there's a lot of positive things in this church. But there are some ways that we can improve. There are things that we can move forward in and be better. Lord, most of all, Lord, help us to see people. Help us to see people. The disciples didn't see people. We don't always see people. Open our eyes, Lord. You came to save people. You love people. Give us that love here today in our hearts. The Bible says your love has been poured out in our hearts. And the Bible says that we love because you first loved us. We can't love like you until, Lord, we receive your love, until we walk in that love. Help us to give. Freely we have received. Today I'm asking, Lord, help us freely give. Take us out of our comfort zones, out of our fears, our inadequacies. Just help us, make us bold. Fill us with that Holy Spirit of boldness and with the whole, and with fire, Lord. Hallelujah. Give us your fire. I pray a blessing over this church, Father. I thank you for the gifts and the individuals that you've placed within this church. Lord, you have a greater plan. Lord, we want to see what you're doing, and we want to join you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. As we go this week, Lord, let's just experiment. Let's just look at people today. No matter where you're at, in the store, driving down the street, at the workplace, in the school, I want you to just sit back like I did on Thursday and look at what's going on. Look at the people. Look at the scenario. And just dream in your mind, how could this be different? How can I change this? Is there anybody I can touch or minister to? Hallelujah. Go with God's blessing today, in Jesus' name.